We'll get this going in just a moment. Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Thank you so much, church. It's good to be here tonight. I'm thankful for the opportunity the Lord's given us. Appreciate Brother Hyde asking us to come. And it would be our prayer tonight and our desire to be able, by the grace of God, to be a help to you. I hope that we can say something tonight that will encourage you in the way. I believe in these last days in which we live in, when you think about Paul admonishing Timothy to preach the word, I believe the exhortation is much needed in this hour. For seemingly it feels like that there is a great pressure these days on the people of God. I do believe that Satan realizes he hath but a short time. And I feel like his desire is to wear out the saints of the Lord. But I'm glad tonight, friend, the Bible says that greater is he that is in us than he that's in this world. I'm thankful tonight, friend, he's still with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Our strength is found in him and in him alone. Jesus reminded the disciples in John 15, "For without me, you can do nothing." But I'm glad tonight he's here tonight to help us. And through him tonight, all things are made possible. I encourage you to look to him tonight. We'll trust the will of God to be done. I'll share these scriptures with you. You pray for us tonight that the Lord would use us as we try to say a few things for the glory of God. In the book of Genesis tonight, please, chapter number 45. If you'd like to look with us, Genesis chapter 45 tonight, as we have this great record in the life of Joseph. We understand about Joseph, what a great individual he was, and how that God used this man greatly. I'm glad tonight that God's chosen to use me. I'm glad tonight that God uses me and you to accomplish his divine will. Oftentimes, friend, we're not even aware of what God's doing in our lives. But we realize tonight that truly he is the potter. We're just the vessel tonight that God is working and using for his glory. And so it was Joseph's life. But as we come to chapter number 45, friend, things are taking a turn. And friend, God's going to do something great here. I'm going to show the reason, friend, that God has placed Joseph where Joseph is. I don't believe you're here tonight by coincidence, but I believe you're here by divine providence. I believe that God has a purpose for your life, Brother Robert, like God has a purpose for my life. I believe that God has a place for your life, like God has a place for my life. And I want to find myself in the place that God has for me. And if I'll be in that place, then the purpose of God will be fulfilled and God will be glorified. Let's begin here in verse number 19. The Bible said, "Now thou art commanded this, do ye take your wagons out of the land of Egypt, for your little ones, for your wives, and bring your father and come." Now, Pharaoh is speaking to Joseph now concerning, friend, the will of God and what God's going to do. See, Pharaoh is simply a tool in the hand of a master. Amen. Pharaoh has that great authority, friend, and so he's commanded Joseph to give this command to his brethren. And the Bible goes on to say, "And also regard not your stuff, for all the good of the land of Egypt is yours." Isn't that amazing what God is doing? And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provision for the way. And to all them he gave each man changes of raiment, but unto Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner 10 sheasses laden with the good things of Egypt, and 10 sheasses laden with the corn and bread and meat for their father by the way. And he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And as he said unto them, "See that you fall not out by the way." And when they came up out of the land of Egypt, they came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father. and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive. Now, think about what's taking place here. Friend, they have come with a message. Amen. Joseph is yet alive. He is governor of all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. Sometimes, friend, when we're told something, it's just simply hard to believe it. Isn't that right tonight? I mean, even sometimes when we want to believe it, we have trouble believing it. But I'm glad, friend, God can take care of that too. The Bible tells us here, and they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. Now I will go and see him before I die. I appreciate these scriptures tonight. I'll give you, friend, what's on my heart, some things, friend, I woke thinking about this morning. And I want to draw your attention now unto verse number 24. And he sent his brethren away. And so everything now is ready. The wagons are packed, the asses are packed, and they're ready, friend, to take this journey from Egypt into Canaan's land. And as they get ready, and no doubt, friend, as they begin to depart, and friend, the wheels begin to turn on the wagons, it's like Joseph, friend, hollers out to his brothers and said, see that ye fall not out by the way. Now, we'll deal with that tonight if God would help. Now, understand, friend, in this life of Joseph, where he's at this point in time, friend, he's been to the pit. He's had that time and experience in his life. Now, I'll tell you something, friend. That was not a pleasant time, but it was a purposeful time in his life. We need to understand tonight that we can trust God even in the times of our lives that are not very pleasant times. He goes then unto Potiphar's house, for he's sold to the Egyptians, and Potiphar will purchase him, but yet God's with him. And so he spends time in Potiphar's house, but we know the story and how that Potiphar's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and because of Joseph's refusal to do wrong, he ends up in the prison. You would think, friend, if a man's going to live for God, that you wouldn't have experiences like that, but yet God has divine design and purpose. God's doing something, for he didn't go just to any prison, but he went to the king's prison. I believe he went, friend, to where, friend, he could be informed about what's taking place in the palace. God was with Joseph. Friend, the keeper of the prison just handed everything over to Joseph. He placed him in that position he needed to be in so that God could continue to work in his heart and life, opening up the doors as God saw fit to open them. Amen. Some time has passed. Do you realize, friend, Joseph will finish out his teens and then in his 20s, on into his 30s now. And seemingly, friend, all the dreams that he had, those special dreams were never going to come to pass. But I'm going to tell you what, friend, the same God that gave special dreams can give sweet dreams tonight. Amen. So here Joseph is. Then, friend, one day the butler and baker show up. Not by accident. God has placed them there. And so they're troubled, and Joseph speaks to them concerning what's troubling them. And of course, the issue of the dreams come up as they're troubled, and Joseph interprets the dreams, and we understand, know the story. But it would be the butler that would be restored. The baker, he would be hanged. And yet, friend, when the butler goes back and presents the cup, friend, unto Pharaoh, he forgot about Joseph. Now, I really feel like, friend, it's God that allowed this to happen, for it was not time, because everything is done in accordance to God's time. Oh, but friend, there came a time and a day when Pharaoh had a dream, and he was troubled. Who came before Pharaoh but the butler? And because of the trouble, the conversation takes place. The butler says, I remember my faults this day. There's a man down in the prison house that has the ability to interpret dreams. Joseph is called. He stands before Pharaoh. Says, does not interpretations belong to the Lord? And begins to describe the dream, which deals with 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine. And Pharaoh is so moved by this. He said, can we find such a one in whom the Spirit of the Lord is? And the Bible said he makes him governor of all the land. And only in the throne was Pharaoh greater. And God then begins to do things in Joseph's life. He's given a wife. He has children. And God's doing something great in Joseph's life. Those dreams that Joseph has, he still can't see them. But he recognizes the hand of God. And he knows that God's doing something. And then the 7 years of famine come. And his brethren come down to Egypt's land. Everything's been committed to the hand of Joseph. Joseph recognizes his brothers. Amen. And so he deals kind of craftily with them. And friend, they're not sure what's going on. They don't understand what's taking place. And they go back to a friend of Canaan's land. But there's still famine in the land. And this scripture takes place on their second journey down when they brought Benjamin, their brother. And friend, now there's great revelation takes place here. I'm telling you something, friend. That's how God works tonight. He works through revelation. If God doesn't manifest it and make it known, you can never see it. And when a man gets saved, friend, that's a divine revelation of God. It's God not only shows that man what he is, but he shows that man, praise God, who he is. I appreciate God for that tonight. The Bible said Joseph couldn't refrain himself. They're together in a meal, and no doubt, Brother Joe, these Hebrews are a little taken back because, hey, friend, they're dining like Hebrews would dine, and they're not really understanding. How can this man know what he knows? Oh, yes. And after a while, Joseph just couldn't take it anymore. He begins to weep and cry. Sends all everybody out. The servants are out. And his weeping is so great, the Egyptians hear him. And friend, he makes himself known unto his brethren. And he says unto them, I am Joseph. Oh, yes, you can imagine what that must have done to them. I mean, at first, I'm going to be honest, Brother Keith, they couldn't believe it. They, as far as they were concerned, Joseph was dead. But I'm telling you, friend, it ain't over till God says it's over. It doesn't matter what it looks like to man. It doesn't matter what man thinks or says about it. Hey, God had a plan. And Joseph is governor, thank God, in the land of Egypt. Bible said he begins to speak with them, thank God, and comfort them. And he begins to let them understand, friend, that it was God that's done this and not them. And they were just a tool in the hand of the Lord. Hey, I'm going to tell you what, that takes some growing in grace. Amen. You don't say that a month after you've been saved by the grace of God. But through the years, God made him to forget. And God made him fruitful. That's what his children's names meant. Ephraim and Manasseh. And he began to understand when he saw those brothers bow the knee. Hey, friend, that God is doing something in his life. Sometimes we wonder, is God doing anything? Is God going to do something with me? Why am I where I am? But could it be, friend, that God's placed you there because great things are to come and God is going to use you? Thank God to see them come to pass. Don't sell him short tonight. Don't sell God short. God's able tonight. Amen. Boy, I appreciate it. And so he begins to talk to them. Oh, friend, he said, be not grieved with yourselves. Don't be angry. For God did send me before you to preserve life. Isn't that something? He said, fellas, listen, don't get to pointing fingers mad at yourself or somebody else. You ought to understand, God sent me here.
Now, I promise you, when he was in the pit, he was probably not seeing victory in Jesus like we sung tonight. Hey, when he went down to Potiphar's house, it looked like things were not going to be too bad. But he did what was right. Ended up in the prison house. I tell you, Brother Jonathan, I don't know that he sang, praise God, isn't the Lord wonderful? But God was doing something. And the Bible said the Lord was with him. Oh, yes. Oh, but little by little by little. I kind of feel like, and I don't know this is so, you don't have to believe like I believe on this, but I feel like friend, when he interpreted those dreams to the butler and baker, I feel like maybe Joseph was even packing a suitcase, thinking, well, probably this is it, and God's fixing to do something, but seemingly God did nothing, and great disappointment may have entered in. I tell you, child of God, you have to be careful, because in these last days, in these perilous times, they're difficult days, and they're all so disappointing days sometimes. But can I remind you that God has not changed, and that God's still doing something tonight, and that God, friend, knows what to do and when to do it. Oh, yes. So, friend, here we come. And Joseph made himself known. Thank God he assures him over and over and over. He said, why, God sent me before you to preserve you a prosperity in the earth. Isn't that something? He said, he sent me here to make sure, thank God, there's another generation and another generation and another generation. Amen. Isn't that just like the Lord? Praise God tonight. But I'm going to tell you what, friend, listen, sometimes we feel like, friend, that God's forgotten about us, but God hadn't forgotten tonight. Oh, my soul. And so he's got them here. And you can imagine the thoughts. You can imagine the feelings. You can imagine maybe what's taking place in these boys' lives as they have been brought face to face with the one friend they put in the pit, the one they sold out, the one they even talked about killing, the one that they lied to their daddy about. You can imagine all the emotions taking place in their lives. And here, friend, listen, Joseph is loading them down. Hey, friend, they've got all the good of the land of Egypt. As a matter of fact, he said, you don't have to pack anything. You just leave it all behind because the good of the land is yours. Amen. Oh, my soul. Isn't that something? Can you imagine trying to take all that in? I mean, one minute you're laughing, the next minute you're crying. Hey, you don't know really how to feel sometimes. The wagons are packed and they begin to roll out. And friend, here they are, and they're headed back to Canaan's land. Every one of them's headed back, praise God. Can you imagine, friend, that as they begin to pull out, and Joseph seemingly says, hey, you can see him turn around. He said, let me tell you something, fellas. See that you fall not out by the way. As I began to think about that, here, friend, as they've been commissioned, they've been charged. Now think about this. They've been charged to go. Amen. They've been charged to get their family. And they have been charged to return. Amen. They said, fellas, you need to go. You go all the way, not part of the way, not some of the way, not as far as you feel like you need to go, but you go all the way. Amen. I believe God tonight wants us to go all the way, not just part of the way, not just some of the way. But I found out, friend, it's easy sometimes to talk about going, and it's another thing to do it. See, tonight, friend, we can stand and sing, I have decided to follow Jesus, but it's another thing to follow. Amen. Oh, yes. And I tell you what, friend, when the sun is shining in your Christian life, it's easy to sing that song. It's easy to stand and say, I believe I'll just go with God. But I tell you, it's another thing, friend, when the clouds roll in your life. But God's not changed one bit. We still have a commission tonight. God's charged us, amen. See that you fall out by the way. Oh, but the pressure's on. I believe it is. Oh, you can imagine the pressure on them, what that must have felt like. He was concerned about it. He said, you go and you get the family and you bring them back down here. That they're going with a message. They're going to go give a message that's going to be hard to believe. Isn't that right? Oh my, but I tell you, friend, aren't you glad that God of heaven, thank God, is always 10 steps ahead of us. Amen. God made provision for the way. The Bible said, friend, when Jacob heard the message, he said, I just cannot believe that. And really what he was saying was, I refuse to believe that. I'm not going to believe it. I'm just not going to do it. But brother, when he saw the wagons, he could not deny it. He could not deny that God's in this thing. He took a story that was unbelievable and made it believable. That's what God did when you got saved. He took a story that was unbelievable and praise God made it believable to you. Oh, yes. That the Son of God would come down to this earth and give his life a ransom for many. And thank God, save your wretched soul and make you present tense a child of God. That's a hard story to believe. But I tell you what, Brother Robert, he helped me believe it one day. He gave me faith when I didn't have faith that I could believe what I could not believe without him. I bless his good name tonight. Oh, yes. He said, you return. Thank God. Hey, man, you know they had a destination. We got a destination tonight. And brother, listen, we don't have to. Hey, listen, the place we're headed, we're not taking anything with us. You know what God's saying tonight? Regard not your stuff. Brother Todd, I'm glad I ain't going to have to pack a bag for the trip. I'm glad when God comes for me, I'm not going to have to go home and pack a suitcase or take a few keepsakes with me. God's got everything I need. And what he's got for me is so much better than what I've got down here. I'll not regard the stuff. Brother Keith, I'll not give it a second thought. Praise God, he's got something for me. Oh yes, praise God for that. But he's saying to me, see that you fall not out by the way. Oh man, I began to think about that. Because, friend, he was concerned about them making that journey like he told them to make it and doing what he told them to do and coming back, friend, when they were supposed to come back. And, friend, when he said, see that you fall not out by the way, I believe he was concerned, hey, friend, about how they felt concerning their past. You've already talked about it. I'm going to tell you what tonight. You can't live in the past. You can't serve in the past. Won't you just let the past go tonight? You know what the past is? It's the past. You can't change it, friend. Water that's gone under the bridge is water that's not gone under the bridge. You understand that? Whether it's good or bad, I can't change it. But I tell you what I can do. I can live for God right now. Amen. I can live for God tomorrow. I can serve God this coming week if God gives me breath. And what happened in the past, it's what it is. It's already gone. And if I failed him in the past, all I got to do is ask him to forgive me. He washes it clean. I got to think about that. Boy, bless my heart. Hey, you know, there's a lot of things they say in the Old Testament. And they talked about sin. And we talked about the high priest, how he'd go once a year for his sin and the sin of the people. But that blood, friend, it only covered that. Amen. Well, I've got something much better than that. See, Brother Job, my sin's not as far as the east from the west. It's not buried, friend, in the deeps of the sea somewhere. Oh, no, no, no. Hey, friend, it's not just behind his back. And it's not covered. See, the problem is, if I had a board tonight, and I just began to write the sins down, I could cover that up with a sheet, and you could not see it. But a sin remains. Isn't that what he was saying? But praise God, when we got saved by the grace of God, he washed our sin away. It's gone, friend. It's not buried. Praise God, it's gone tonight. Brother, I'm going to tell you what, when we go to him, thank God it's gone. Hey, brother, you might as well let go of the past. The Apostle Paul said these words, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward. Thank God, those things which are before, I press toward the mark. He didn't say, be easy, Brother Jonathan. He said, it's a press. He said, but I put my shoulder to it, thank God. It's exactly right. He said, I press toward the mark. That's it, what we all do tonight, press. See that you fall out that, by the way. You know what he was afraid of? Them boys getting part way down the journey. And one of them looking at the other one and saying, you know, it's your fault. It's your fault. Hey, man, and sometimes, friend, we're real good at pointing the fingers and saying it's your fault. Hey, man, but I found out, friend, the truth of the matter is it's been my fault so much. Hey, man, ain't no need me pointing fingers really at nobody else. Hey, man, and by the way, that's not going to solve anything or change anything. Amen. Reuben could say, well, I tell you what, if it hadn't been for me, if it hadn't been for me, but I'm going to tell you what, if it hadn't been for God, that's exactly right. You got to understand something tonight. It's not had it been for you or somebody else, but had it not been for God, he did not want them falling out with one another and getting upset at one another and dividing against one another. I tell you, church, in these days, we need to pull together for God's glory. Oh, friend, we're a body. And every member of the body is important. Amen. I don't have any member that I want to get rid of. Not one member. Amen. Every member is important to me. Amen. That's exactly right. We need to pull together and bond together for the unity of the faith. We ought to strive for that tonight. And you ought to, friend, decide by the help and grace of God, you're going to do what you can to maintain it. Thank God. We've got an opportunity, friend, hey, to be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Thank God we ought to love one another and praise God, let them know it. Amen. We've got opportunity, thank God, to come in the house of God and greet one another and speak to one another and love one another. Hey, friend, he said, let you fall out, by the way. You know what I found out? It's really hard not to love somebody if you're praying for them. Now, I oftentimes guilty of not praying for them like I should. But if I'm praying for them, friend, it's hard not to love them. Hey, man, that's right. Oh, my soul. I tell you what, he didn't want them to fall out, by the way, because he knew the perils of the journey. That's a long trip. They're going to take a long trip, and a lot of things can happen along the journey. Hey, you realize what the Lord told Elijah? He said, let me tell you something, son, the journey's too great for thee. He said, you can't make it without me. The journey's too great for you. Amen. Hey, listen, he knew the dangers of it. He wanted them to be aware. He wanted them to be vigilant. Does the Bible not tell us to be sober and vigilant as a child of God? Hey, you got to understand, 2 years of famine's been in the land. There's five more to go. It's still not raining. They're still not having any harvest. And they're traveling down the road, friend. You talk about a great caravan. Amen. You talk about a pack train. Boy, they've got wagons. They're loaded down. Everywhere they go, people looking for miles, saying, my soul, we're in the middle of a famine, and look what they've got. I'm going to tell you what, friend, there's a famine in this land, but look what we've got tonight. Oh, yes, God's been good. Hey, let the world see what you got tonight. Amen. Oh, yes. He said, but see that you're falling out by the way. Oh, there's a great distance. We need his help every step of the journey. Every step of the journey, we need his help. I don't want to fall out, by the way. I want to complete the journey. I really want to complete the journey. You know, when Paul told Timothy, I have finished my course, he was exhorting Timothy to finish his course. He wasn't bragging. He wasn't bragging. He was just saying, thank God, by the grace of God, I finished my course. You can finish yours. I want to finish my course, Brother Keith. You talked about running your lane, being in your lane. That's what a race is. Amen. Hey, you know what? The problem, some people can't finish their course. They're always in somebody else's lane or critiquing somebody else or looking back. You can't run looking back. Just stay in your lane. Because this, I found this out. Brother Robert, if God wants you to do something else than what you're doing, he'll take care of that. That's God's business. That's right. I believe that's right. And I tell you what, friend, listen, if I'll stay in my course, in my lane, and keep my eyes on the mark, which is Christ, he's always been the mark. He is the prize, thank God. If I keep my eyes on him, I'll stay where I need to stay. Oh, yes. If I'm always looking at somebody else, I'll never see him. Boy, when I come to the house of God, I'm looking for him. And I tell you what, friend, if you look for him, you'll see him. Brother, I hope you've seen him tonight. He's been here. Thank God he's been here. I saw him this morning. Thank God he was here. I saw him last week. Praise God. Oh, just run the race. Just run the race. Just run the race. See that you fall not out by the way. Oh, my soul. These men had upon them a great responsibility. And see, as I began to look, I thought about how even in Jesus' day, you know, there were many that walked no more with him. Isn't it sad? Many did. And what concerns me sometimes is, and I know we're not to get our eyes on men, but sometimes, friend, when somebody just kicks out and goes, it affects you, especially if it's somebody you know and love. Amen. And friend, listen, sometimes this way gets hard. I'm not making light of that. Sometimes it gets discouraging. Sometimes the weights are very, very heavy. Sometimes we get hurt. Amen. That's right, sometimes we get hurt. He said, see that you fall not out by the way. And I got to thinking, you know, when somebody falls, oftentimes they get hurt. Amen. And sometimes when somebody falls, not only do they hurt themselves, but they hurt others. Amen. I don't want to fall out by the way. Amen. I don't want to fall out by the way. The preacher was in Jude this morning. Praise God. That's a great message, wasn't it? Amen. Over in verse number 24, he said he's able to keep us from falling and present us faultless. Isn't that something? Who can? He can. Praise God. Boy, I appreciate the Lord tonight. I bless his good name. And I'll close with this tonight. See that you fall not out by the way. I don't want to fall out of the way tonight because of others. I'm not to keep my eyes on others, look to others. I'm to look to Jesus. But I've got to realize tonight that no man lives or dies to himself. Amen. I believe we're to be an example of the believer. That's what Paul said. Be an example of the believer. He didn't say to the believer. He said of the believer. There's a great difference. And I've said before, friend, we're to be an example of the believer, so we can be an example to everybody. Not just to the same, not just to the brethren, but thank God to everyone that's around about us. Amen. Others. You know what he said here in the scripture? He said, I've got these wagons here, and take your wagons out of the land for your little ones. See that you fall not out by the way. Amen. Look at these young folk around here tonight. Don't fall out by the way, because they're watching. They're watching tonight. And I'm going to tell you what, your life can have great impact in their life. And I'm going to tell you what, every one of you in here saved tonight, there was probably somebody in your life, friend, that God used, that you watched their life and you realized that they were genuine. Amen. Oh, yes, these little ones, don't fall out by the way. Because if I fall out tonight, it's going to affect somebody. I don't want to fall out. Boy, there's been times I've been weak and weary. There's been times I've pretty much given up. I'm not proud of that tonight. I'm not bragging about that tonight. But there's been times I've been there. But thank God his grace was real and his grace was sufficient. And God helped me in spite of myself. And I appreciate that tonight. But I don't want to fall out. Listen, I've come too far. I've come too far, thank God. Hey, friend, folk watching, folk looking. Hey, we've got a reason tonight. Hey, don't fall out, by the way. Oh, my. He said, your little ones, your wives, and bring your father also. Come. Amen. Says come. Thank God as we run this race that God set before us. Friend, he says, don't fall out by the way. Thank God. Stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with it. I wish I could tell you tonight it's easy. It's not easy. Amen. It's not easy sometimes. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes you wonder. I am sure that Joseph had a lot of days he wondered. Amen. I believe David had some days he wondered. How would you like to be anointed to be king? Now you're living in the wilderness and running for your life. Amen. That's exactly right. God didn't say it was going to be easy, but he did say, I'll be with you. Thank God. But I'm going to tell you what God did. I'll tell you what God did. He took a man that was down in the prison. In a moment of time, he changed his life. And he went from being a prisoner to being governor of the land. Isn't that amazing? That's the God we serve tonight. Amen. He took a man that was running in the wilderness, friend, and made him king over all of Israel. A man after God's own heart. That's the God that we serve tonight. I appreciate the Lord. And he's telling us, don't fall out by the way. Be careful tonight. Be careful. I tell you, listen, I know we live in discouraging days. There's a lot of things round about us to discourage our heart and try to take the heart from us. But I believe the psalmist said, when I'm overwhelmed, you just lead me to that rock. Praise God. That's how. Amen. Oh, yes. Because God can do that. God can do it tonight. See that you fall not out by the way. And here his brethren go on their journey. Amen. They made it all the way back to Canaan. Amen. And evidently, they must have been ahead of the wagon train. Amen. And I believe, friend, there was a little bit of excitement there. And I can see him as their father, and somebody brings a word to Jacob and says, hey, they're coming back, they're coming back. He probably asked the question, is Benjamin with them? He probably asked that question. And they're counting heads and said, looks like everybody's coming back. Looks like everybody's coming back. Evidently, Brother Keith, they beat all them there. And they come and said, Daddy, I want to tell you something. Joseph is alive. I'm telling you, Joseph is alive. Oh, it seemed too good to be true. Seemed like it could not be true. They tried to tell the story. They tried to convey the story. Oh, but friend, then God sent the wagons. I believe, friend, God's give us things in our own lives that others can see. Praise God that shows them this thing is real tonight. All the grace that God's given, the help that God's given, the strength that God's given, the things that God has brought us through as individuals, and give grace and mercy and strength, and let us not be overcome, but be overcomers, and others see those things in our lives and realize, friend, there's something to this, there's something to that. It gives hope, it gives courage, thank God. It calls this man's spirit to revive. Amen. And he said, it's enough. It's enough. He said, I don't need to hear anything else. I don't need to see anything else. I believe his attitude was this, let's climb in the wagons and go to Egypt. Amen. Joseph is yet alive. Child of God, I encourage you, keep your eyes on the Master tonight. Keep your eyes on him. Thank God, love him. Thank God, stay with the church. Church, love one another. Thank God, see that you fall not out by the way. Well, I tell you, if the devil could, he'd like to pull one out here and pull one out there, cause one to fall over here and cause one to stumble over there. Now, I'm going to tell you what, friend, if you see your brother stumbling, hey, don't go kick him down. Praise God, give him a helping hand. I believe it's right tonight. Oh, yes. Boy, I appreciate the Lord, don't you? See that you fall not out by the way. Oh, it's so important, the iron in which we live. I know, friend, we're living in discouraging times, and I promise you, if you pay much attention to current events and what's taking place in our society, hey man, you'll be a little bit discouraged this week probably. But I tell you what, if you can take a little bit of time, hey man, and get in this book right here and get on your knees and talk to the Master, you might be surprised what God might do for you. You might be surprised. You might go to that familiar chapter, to that familiar verse that you've read over and over and over. But today it's different. And God helps your heart. Everybody's been there. Thank God for that great truth. When you feel like you don't have strength, and all of a sudden God gives you strength. When you told the Lord, Lord, I can't go any further. I can't go any further. Thank God, then you look back and realize how far you've come, why you've been saying, I cannot go any further. And you realize that God's been bringing you along. Amen. And understand this tonight, friend, we're in the hand of God. God has us in his hand. That means no matter how low I get, Brother Keith, I'm still in the hand of God. I'm not going anywhere, thank God. He's still got a hold of me. Oh, yes. See that you're falling out, by the way. Amen. Thank God. Stay with him. Stay with him. Stay with him tonight. Don't fall out, by the way. Amen. Brother Brett, you come tonight if you will. Let's just stand tonight if you will. We're going to just have a word of prayer and ask.